Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
You seen what he did on Facebook, right? Listen, I'm gonna make a motherfucking emoji like this. Look.
Donald D. Beyonce Production.
BoxingVoice.com. All the guys want. I want what Mayweather got.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. Today is going to be kind of an immediate reaction, kind of a little breaking news to some things that took place today at the Jermell Charlo Charles Hatley press conference and weigh in. Charlo's are quickly becoming boxing's new bad boys. Is it a good thing for the sport? Is it synonymous with boxing? Is it a part of promotion? It's a part of promoting a fight. These are all questions we're going to ask each other. We're going to kick it around with our panel. And we're going to ask our listeners. Matt, I'm going to head on out to the Golden State. No intro because we're doing the bad boy thing, man. It's we're bad guys.
What about Dalla DiBiase doing all that hard work for me, you know, like putting out the greatest intro in TBV history, you know?
We thought other people had Ahmed. We thought other people had egos around here. Look who's really got the ego.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Conley. How do you feel about it?
Fuck that.
Conor McGregor.
BoxingVoice.com.
From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, into a knockout. When the main thing is, I just help the guy. I wish.
BoxingVoice.com.
Yeah, that's that intro right there. And if you do not know, I'm Matt the Hipster. But anyways, digressing. You know, we had this major altercation that happened between these two camps. And as our show is questioning or posing the question, are these two men the new bad boys of boxing? And as you also point out, Ness, is that a good thing? My answer for both questions is a resounding yes. So can't wait to get into it. Can't wait to chop it up with the callers, too.
It's very complicated. It's very complicated. I'm assuming we're not going no intro since we went back to back.
It's me, Mario.
Wrong again. No, listen, it's very difficult question to pose because I know them from a professional level, you know, I mean, not personally or anything like that, but I have spent some time around them. They're not bad guys. I know that. They're not bad guys. But they are playing the role of boxing's bad boys. You ask anyone around the media, you ask anyone around the boxing inner circles, and they'll tell you that there is a distinct difference between the charming, soft-spoken twins of 2011 and 2012 on the come-up, fighting on the undercard and throughout Texas, the undercards of Golden Boy fights throughout Texas, compared to the guys that are here today, they are much more brash. They are much more outspoken, which can be a good thing coming out of your shell. However, if you've not seen the video yet, things like this are not good. In fact, they are downright bad, and we need to get into every single one of these details.
Now, speaking of the video, should we show it? It is our video. I did capture this while being live at the weigh-in, as we spoke about briefly on our Thursday night show. Tension was high. The energy was definitely high, as you guys like to have it here on the Boxing Voice. And it spilled over into Friday at the weigh-in. The minute I got there, it was all action. I thought I missed it. You know, Jermell was just coming off of the scales and exiting with Team Charlo and Bunch, you know, and I happened to catch Hatley. And, you know, we had a good conversation. And we went out into the lobby and crossed paths with the Charlos, and things went south right there. And you know, the question is, Mario, well, actually, Matt is the one that thinks this is a good thing. And you know what? I'll be first to admit that I do as well.
What?
It's part of promotion. It's needed. If Gennady Golovkin makes good boys, then we have to have some bad boys.
Oh, that's nice. Look at that. I hope somebody was listening. I hope somebody was I know somebody's listening. And I hope that person that's listening was paying attention to that, because that is a tagline right there. That ain't no the one. That ain't no Canelo Mayweather the one. All right. That is a tagline.
And I very quickly, I'm just going to break this down into two different things. One is the idea of being a bad boy. Is that a good thing? Separate from the Charlos completely. And I would say 100% yes. I mean, obviously there's degrees and there's lines you shouldn't cross and such. But this has always been a sport that's built up antagonists. You know, this is a sport that's always had the protagonist and the antagonist. And we've had Joe Louis, Max Schmeling. We had Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, you know, so forth and so forth, of the bad guy and the good guy. And usually speaking, the reason why those fights are big is because you have the bad guy. You have that foil to the hero. And I think Charlos are naturally going to be the foil to guys like Triple G, guys like Canelo. And I think that's going to be great for the sport. Now, breaking down this particular situation, this particular altercation, why I don't think it's bad for the sport, why I think it's good for the sport, is because there was no punches thrown. There was really no shoving. It did get heated. They did get in their face. One person from Team Charlo definitely was starting to disrobe.
Remember when the Deontay Wilder Brazil situation happened, no children were injured, but because there were children around, people, you know, took it to a different level. And
children see worse on TV and in music. I'm just being honest. Like, if I'm a parent and I have my kid there and I stay there and let my kid watch that while it's happening, that's on the fucking parent.
No way. Come on. Seriously. I mean, look, if they stay there, sure.
Yeah. But
if you go to batting practice before the game, you don't expect two guys from the opposite teams to just start throwing fists. Look,
that didn't happen here.
But you don't expect them to cuss each other out and use inappropriate language. This is a sporting event at the end of the day. This is not WWE entertainment. And let me further the point.
That's where you 100%.
Let me further the point.
Boxing has never been like football, basketball.
Let me further the point. It is a sport at the end of the day. It is not sports entertainment. When you cut it down to the very core of it, this is a sport. And these men should be sportsmen. Now, let me say something about the promotional aspect of this. The Boxing Voice is a journalistic outlet. Putting a video like this is journalism. This is not the place to promote your fight. Yes, we are covering the fight. Yes, we are covering the event. But this is not 24/7. See, when Floyd did this with Oscar De La Hoya, it was all planned, and you could tell it was all planned because mostly everything happened in front of the 24/7 cameras. In this case, Nestor Gibbs is in a place where almost no other media is. This was not for promotion. The other thing is, despite the fact that there were no fists thrown, how terrible is it that there was no fists thrown, and yet it got so bad that the commission, which I did verify, was thinking about canceling this fight. They had serious talks about canceling this fight because these camps got out of control. All right. And I'm going to touch on this real quick. We talked earlier about having a PSA for young fighters out there. Okay. Young fighters should not have 10, 15 guys in their entourage. The Charlos are not rappers. They are not rappers.
You guys aren't young
they
fighters.
They are. No, they are young
They're trying fighters. To be the next Mayweather.
Look, fine. Yes, you're right. In the sport, they are young champions, but they are still young 26 fighters
years old,
in their mind. They are young enough to where they are making the mistake. They are making the mistake, and they are, and he is not on that level. He is not on that level. And Mayweather had this entourage.
Guys always have entourages. That's the name of the game.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It is not the name of the game. Look, I've been to enough.
Unless the low-level guys that travel and can't afford it. The guys that can afford it and are champions, bring entourages.
I've been to enough fights that I can tell you that not everyone brings a 10, 15 deep entourage. You want to bring the familia? You want to bring the familia? Then that's fine. Bring the familia. But don't bring the thugs from down the way to come and take off their shirts, take off their chains, and come in and try to start some shit and ruin your pocket. That's your pocket. That's your pocket.
Yo, you're throwing out accusations.
No. Let me tell you.
Listen. That could have been a cousin.
Then your cousin's a fool because he should not be acting like that. Listen, there were two gentlemen but on both sides of the camp. Let me tell you. And these were the older heads.
Wait. I think we need a second back. I didn't want to interrupt you before you were on a good one, and I'm glad I didn't. But I think that for anyone just stumbling on this, I think we need to explain.
You're right.
As to why we're questioning, not saying, questioning whether or not Jermell and Jamal Charlo happen to be the new bad boys in boxing. Now, I will start by saying I like that they take everything serious because it means that they're going to train seriously. It means that it's about competition and egos, and male egos especially. We never want to see our egos shattered, right? So I believe that the competitive nature of this, the back and forth bickering, makes it all more interesting. We've seen this with Julian Williams. Julian Williams was very vocal, antagonizing Jermall Charlo. There were a lot of forums, headlines, internet chatter that Charlo, both Jamal and Jermell were possibly ducking or wanting to duck Julian Williams and Demetrius Andrade. So when the fight happens with Julian Williams, Jamal has the opportunity to win in explosive fashion and be a darling. Win by knockout, but also show empathy, right? Sympathy for his opponent. Understand that it was just a fight, but he chose not to. And that is the first time that we can accuse him of being a bad guy. You know, when Julian Williams lost, he went over there and he tried to shake Jamal's hand and he said, man, get the fuck out of here. And I loved it, Jamal, because I know you're going to listen and not hear properly. You know, because when you did that, I even said I loved it then because I get it. I get it. How you going to disrespect me? And because you lose, now you want to apologize. So it's no different with this altercation. Charles Hatley has been saying some alarming things in the media. He hasn't fought in a long time because he's been waiting for this mandatory. Charles Hatley jumped into the ring after Jamal Charlo won his fight versus, was it Austin Trout or Julian Williams, guys? And when he jumped into the ring, he went after Jamal thinking he was Jermell. So again, another reason to give justification to the quote-unquote new bad guys in boxing when maybe they're just retaliating? For every action, there's a reaction, Mario?
Look, I see where you're coming from. And honestly, I don't disagree. I think what happened with the Julian Williams fight is the Charlos were overheated in a moment. And if you realize what happened afterwards, caught on Boxing Voice video, they didn't apologize necessarily, like they thought they did something wrong, but they definitely were apologetic in nature. They didn't mean to come off the way they did. That was just a heated exchange. They were reeling from the win. It was a big time win, and then he did it in a big time fashion. But that is not what we're talking about, guys. We're not talking about two guys hyping up a fight. We're talking about two groups of men, nearly 20 men, about to get into a huge brawl where there were children and people caught in the middle that had nothing to do with this. This was not between the two fighters, because Charles Hadley was in an elevator going upstairs to his room to prepare for the fight, and their camps got in the middle. That is not promoting a fight. That is the kind of bullshit that does not belong in a boxing ring. And I don't mean to single the Charlos out, because Charles Hadley did come back down.
Mario, they're fighters. What do you think they're going to do when words and when words fly?
They're going to fight in the ring. In the ring. They're going to fight in the ring. No, you're not in the streets.
You're asking to be a gentleman. You're asking them to be a gentleman.
I'm asking to be a professional. I'm asking to be a professional.
So Mike Tyson
money.
So Mike Tyson didn't punch somebody in the store.
I know you're not going to use Mike Tyson as the
I mean,
Roberto Duran was a bad boy.
His beat. And listen, what did he say about Sugar Ray Leonard's wife?
You're right. We're talking about who are you talking about? You're talking about Roberto Duran. You're talking about Mike Tyson. That's who you're talking about. Okay. So, but you're not talking about their friends or their cousins or their uncles or their sisters. So you're talking less fighters.
That's even less on the fighters. That's even less on them. So you
know it is on them, because they made no attempt to get the guys back.
Okay, listen.
Jamal wasn't even there. Jamal was, but Jamal
was there. Jamal was.
They were both there. They were both there.
Jamal was not there.
They were both there.
All right. See, that's why we need that software. We need that TMZ software. We're gonna put the names in the arrow.
They were both there. Yes, they were.
No, they weren't.
Ness, were they both there?
I only seen Jamal in that.
I saw them both there. There, I'll show y'all.
Well, we're having the belt. Check it out. Damn, you're gonna make me lose my train of thought. Zab Judah. His entourage always gets involved. There's video of him playing dice in Miami, big altercation. There's video with him and Danny Garcia in the Models in Brooklyn, big altercation.
And no promoters wanted to work with them after that. No promoters wanted to work with him.
All right, but what we're saying is this is part of boxing. Yo, these guys are from the inner city, man. You know, and Matt has a point. We need to throw him some coins.
Yeah, throw me those coins.
Right. He's right. You know, when the money is there, the entourages do show up. Amir Khan has an entourage.
And
he goes up to New York City. When he comes to New York City, he brings Virgil. He brings the strength and conditioning coach, Tony Brady. You know, he brings the chief second.
You mean his manager, his publicist, his coaches, his trainers, his strength and conditioning, his nutritionist?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not an entourage. Those are the people that have helped you train for a fight.
Mario, wait a minute. Yes, it is, because then I can easily go historically and prove how Alex Ariza was very much part of an entourage. So much that he threw kicks. So stop it. Strength and conditioning coaches, chief seconds, everybody is a friend.
You're such a cheater. You know damn well what that was about. You know damn well what that was about. Pacquiao.
All right. So check this one out. Why was I interrogated in the end of my interview with Virgil Hunter? Why was I interrogated by the chief second about the hat of choice that I had on?
Explain it. Why?
It doesn't matter why. The point is, someone who you are trying to say is just a worker had his own opinion. And had I been a lesser human being, I'd be like, what the fuck you mean was wrong with my hat? What you mean was wrong? What is wrong with my hat? What then? What if I would have took the stance that I was pro-Angel and wanted to say, what you trying to say? Angel's racist and I'm racist because I got the hat? What then? So what I'm telling you is people are still an entourage regardless of their title. And Danny brings a bunch of motherfuckers.
Okay, let me explain to you.
A bunch of people. Everybody.
Let me explain to you the difference between a Floyd Mayweather entourage, who is made up of bodyguards mostly, because Floyd Mayweather is a high-profile person. Of course he needs an entourage, because everybody wants to get at him. I would have that entourage if I were him. But you're talking about the Charlos, who we both have admitted they are not the stars they could be yet. I think they will both be stars eventually.
But I think that's part of the chip on the shoulder. As the article states, I was at the weigh-in. They feel they're disrespected, Mario. And the question that we're posing here, is it good for the sport? Are we not talking also, about them more now because they are being, you know,
in a negative light? No, it's not good.
Hold on. Let me break it down. Separate the altercation with them being the bad boy. Like, you know, it are the Charlos being the bad boys of boxing right now a good thing for the sport, separate from the altercation?
Yes. And okay. I admitted that when you finished with you, Matt, you very appropriately made the statement off of Ness's good boy, bad boy thing, which is still beautiful in my mind. And that needs to be the tagline if the Charlos fight Golovkin. You said that for every good guy, there has to be a bad guy. And in that way, boxing is a lot like WWE. And I agree with you. And the Charlos, the best way, the fastest way to the top is to be the bad boy. It is. Look at how well it did for Floyd Mayweather. I have no problem with the Charlos, you know, cussing out their opponents or getting hype on stage or you know, throwing off a handshake. That's fine. That is absolutely fine. They're coming into their own. And they have star-like mentalities. My problem is when they allow people in their groups to ruin their money.
And
that is what the problem I have.
I agree with you on that one, but that's separate from them being the bad boy.
Well, to be fair, nothing has happened yet where it's
gone. No, you're right.
To the point where they had to settle out in court or any fines were paid. But I also want to bring light another reason, because I know the Charlos are going to say, oh, you're a fucking hater. See, I knew that dude Ness was a hater. Well, when he fought, and I mean Jermell, when he fought Rosado, same thing happened. Because these guys are brothers, if one feels in danger, the other one feels it for him, and things happen.
Yeah, that's what brothers do.
You know? So it is what it is.
What was that fight with Harrison Ness where Harrison and somebody got into – remember, you were there. It was Harrison and – gosh, dang it. Willie Nelson. Do you remember that, Ness, when Harrison and Nelson got into it and it was really bad and you covered it. You were there. Yeah, both of them were heated.
For that one, yes.
That made me want to watch the fight more. They both got hood. They both got crunk. They both got crazy. And it was awesome.
And someone got knocked out and it lived up to the hype. And when Jamal did it
was awesome.
And when Jamal did it with Julian Williams, someone got knocked out and it lived up to the hype.
It was awesome. This is not
fight her up more to perform better. I know that promoters don't like it. I know that the Marriott Hotel where this took place probably didn't like it. Probably are going to think twice about holding another press conference and weighing in their lobbies and in their conference room. but this is a recipe for action, because this makes Charlo fight harder. This makes Hatley fight harder. And when you're fighting harder, someone gets caught. Listen.
And hold on, very quickly, we have to add to it. Look what Jermell Charlo is making this fight. He's only making $100,000.
Good point. $100,000.
Title fight.
If this video turns into it goes from an altercation to an assault, that $100,000, he's got to take 10% out of that for Al Haymon, 10% for Derrick James. Who else knows what other percentages coming out of that? And then all the bail money you're going to have to pay for the entourage of weirdos taking off their shirts and hats and glasses trying to fight with really older men, right? Because Hatley's team seem to be like older guys to me. A lot of them kind of like need to hit the gym. You know, it wasn't a lot of young boys in that crew. Now, the Charlos team definitely has some little, you heard them, Lions only, and that's what they got. A lot of little young dudes running around there. You got to be careful.
Okay? And very quickly, not necessarily that point, but picking off of it, when you're only making $100,000 in your world title fight, and you're in Brooklyn, co-main event, you want to make more money. And I don't think Jermell Charlo being the nice guy, pretending to be Pretty Boy Floyd or Sugar Ray Leonard, does that. That doesn't get him more money. Being the bad boy does, unfortunately.
Okay, no, you're absolutely right. Okay, but if they're the bad boy and Gennady's the good boy, and those fights are always hard to make, we've seen what happened with Jacobs. It took a lot of money and it took a lot of time. So in the meantime, who do they continue to be bad boys versus? Now, Jermell Charlo had a very interesting quote about Hatley saying, why would I be afraid to fight a guy that I never have to worry about once I beat him? He's not signing Al, so it's a one-and-done thing. I knock him out, he's gone forever. Whereas though a guy like Porter keeps coming back around full circle, you know what I'm saying? Win or lose, Porter's back. So that's what Jermell meant in that instance. So who do you think these guys fight to continue the bad guy role?
Obviously the big fights are Canelo and Triple G, right? Those are like the future big fights for them, the money fights.
Yeah, but Jermell is 54. Jamal, he's going to need another fight to continue that bad guy role to entice a Canelo or shame a Canelo into a fight, because that's what a bad guy does.
Jermell does. Here's what Jermell does. If
Kell Brook is 54, Jamal is 54.
I know. If Kell Brook beats Errol Spence and moves up, that's his foil. You beat my teammate. You moved up. Now I'm going to face you. And Jermell Charlo versus Kell Brook in the UK is a massive fight. You know, obviously, Laura's out of the question because they train together. Andrade, while a great fight, an entertaining fight, interesting fight, I don't know if that's a big fight yet. That's sort of like the J-Rock, Jermell Charlo. Like, it's not really high level.
You know, right. You said Laura is out the question, but that is not true. Laura is with Ronnie Shields. Jamal is with Ronnie Shields. Jermell left. Laura has already gone on record and said he would fight Jermell since
he left. I think that would be huge. I think Laura.
And that is the way you continue Charlo. The bad boy role. That's how you continue the bad boy role, because, you know, Laura's going to be playing like, oh, you left my trainer, I'm going to beat you up. And he's like, man, fuck you and your trainer. Bad boy role. You know what I'm saying? But listen.
Look, I'll real quick tell you that it is extremely difficult to make a star without a star. Typically in boxing, a star is made off of a star. Pacquiao to De La Hoya, Mayweather to De La Hoya. Triple G road is very, very difficult. I think that for the for the Charlos to reach the status that I believe they're capable of talent wise, it's got to be one of the big guys. And until then, they have to solidify by raising their profile in these bad boy antic ways. I'll tell you a fight that would instantly get me very excited would be a Spence type Charlo fight, you know, where we do away with the buddy
Charlo is all that. They're trained by the same trainer.
You're talking about Jermell.
You want Jamal to fight a 47-pounder?
Well, no. Look, I'm just telling you what names I think. Obviously, look, my whole point was that they're not going to get that fight right now. It's going to be down the road. And if they don't land the Canelo Triple Gs, the Spences, and when I say Spence, I mean whoever comes out of that welterweight division. Dude, they're going to move up.
For them. Listen, if you're listening, clean your ears, okay? Mr. Charlos, Jermell. He has to knock out Hatley. Next, unifies with Andre. Takes the bad guy role. This guy's a clown. He shows up to our fights, but he pulls out of fights. He signs contracts. He's going to court. Because this is what they did. This is what they did to Hatley. Anyone that watches the final press conference say, they can attest to Jermell being at the podium saying, yeah, because, you know, he got dropped by my sparring partner. But, oh, my bad. I ain't going to say that. So that's the same thing you do. Yeah, I'm here to fight Andre. But, you know, we was already here a year ago and he pulled out the fight. But I ain't going to say that. You know, be the bad guy. And for Jamal, there's absolutely someone out there for him to be the bad guy, too. You ready for the name?
Ready.
Daniel fucking Jacobs. Mr. Miracle Man himself. Mr., you know, Heart of New York City. The pink ribbon for the cancer. He's the bad guy. He has to be Jacob's bad guy. It's that simple.
It's a good match. It's a really good match. I still don't know. The Jacobs fight could be big. I still think, though, that their best option outside of Canelo Triple G is going to be the person that emerges from that welterweight division, because all those guys are going to head up one day. And look, don't talk to me about 160s fighting 147s. Like, not now. After the last couple of years we've had, we're going to say that that's strange. We're going to say that that's weird.
I'm just saying. I mean, that is a very, very strange cocktail that you're stirring up there. You want Jamal Charlo, who's still
trying to talk about Lomachenko versus Manny Pacquiao.
No. But this particular fight, because of the people, because it's Jamal, the brother to Jermell, the stablemate of Earl. I mean, just think about all the intangibles. You're almost asking for hell to split open, or should I say to be parted, or should I say, I mean, just so many things.
You know what? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be very careful with how I say it, and I hope people can read between the lines. That is a fight that has hidden innuendos in it. I'll put it like that. From everything that I've covered, there is a competitive factor, let's put it that way, between those two. And I could guarantee you that despite all the love that they show each other now, that that fight would be very, very interesting. And you want to talk about fireworks at press conferences and weigh-ins? You ain't seen nothing yet.
I find it so hard. But let's go out to the sponsors and then hit those phone lines.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at elcaminoelectricalservices.com.
We have actually a special treat, and this is a guy that's actually shared the ring with Hatley, knows these guys well. It's our very own JD from Texas.
JD, motherfucker.
There's a lot of things I like to do, so just try to get on my game. I don't know why they gonna call me, but I'm 54-pounder, but I have a brother that's at 160.
Yo, listen, man, I can't say how frustrated I am from watching that bullshit. And I can say this, like, right here, right now, as a person that's been in the ring, if I bring some clowns like that, alluding to what Mario was saying, if I bring some clowns like that to a show that I'm putting on, I guarantee you I would shut that shit down instead of egging it on. And I'm so pissed off at Jamal. I don't know if you guys seen the shit that he was doing with at the fucking
coins.
Listen, the shit that he was doing at the weigh-in was ridiculous. He walked over to the Hatley side, got in the mix of the shit, waiting for some shit to pop off. I can't understand this shit, man. First,
you can't understand
it. It's embarrassing to my state.
You can't understand it.
No. What I text you earlier, this dude got way too much to lose, bro.
Exactly. Way too much to lose.
What are you talking about? What do you mean? Like, this isn't Dominic Brazil, Deontay Wilder, where it was both guys in each other's face, pushing each other and throwing blows.
These are very different. These are entourages. I mean, yes, Jamal. Exactly. Was there, but these are entourages. This is not Brazil and Deontay
No. Hold on. Jamal was the main character in this shit. Go back and look at the
guy who took off his shirt was the main instigator. Come on.
No. But he's talking about the actual weigh-in, not the hotel altercation.
That too. Listen. Those other guys, they are just guys, right? They're the entourage. But everybody has their eyes on you, bro. We gotta know how you act. As a world champion, you gotta conduct yourself in a certain way. And that ain't it. You gotta calm your guys down. Say, hey, look, my brother is fighting. Y'all not. Y'all are some fucking clowns. Like, I mean, don't talk to him like that.
Exactly.
Listen, man, I'm frustrated over the way this whole shit went down. And listen, man, you got to conduct yourself like fucking champions at the end of the day. That ain't it. So I just wanted to get that off, man. I'm pissed off, but because I'm Charlo fans at that. So you know what I'm saying? Like I'm pissed off at the way they was acting.
Well said, JD.
JD, now that they're in it, I mean, that's it. You're in it, you know, as a
You're the bad guy.
Yeah, from a PR standpoint, do you rather them try to clean their image up now moving forward, start giving out turkeys and shit, or do you rather them live up to it and be the bad guys? Be the best damn bad guys boxing ever seen.
They need to be authentic.
I see where you're going. I see where you're going. But at the same time, listen, these dudes ain't nothing to play with, man. I'm going to tell you right here, right now. Like, you could just automatically tell real from fake. And no, they not dudes to be playing with. Just kind of like, you know. I don't know, man. I don't know who to even compare this shit to. But for one thing, man, this is Texas against Texas, right? So it's already a rivalry. And I don't know, man. To play the bad guy role, yeah, it's cool. But at the same time, it's got to be limits. You know what I'm saying? You got to be smart about this shit, too, at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're just fighting in hotels and shit as a world champion. Stop it.
forget world champion.
They weren't fighting.
Listen, no. But Matt, forget about world champion and just from a business standpoint, as a client of Al Heyman, I mean, yo, he's got to be embarrassed because I was there. See, you guys do not know who some of the people that you got to see are. Like, a particular woman that was in that video is somebody. She's like the right-hand man of Al Heyman, you know? And she was not pleased. So there was a lot of people not pleased. So, you know, I just don't know what this does in terms of business. I mean, I don't think that it is damaging enough where a person gets cut off.
Hell no, not that.
But
look what Angel said. Look what Angel fucking Garcia said in a press conference. And that got a talking to behind the scenes, and that was it.
Yo,
go ahead, JD.
This is not the level of that.
I want to say this. I got to get this off before I get off, man. Them fucking clowns, the ones that was taking their shirts off and shit. I was watching that video, wishing and hoping Charlo would have checked them motherfuckers, all of them. They didn't. They was egging the shit on. I got extra pissed off because let me tell you something. It was a dude with the braids. Go back and watch the dude with the fucking braids. Dude, fight stands was whack as fuck. Yeah, did you see that shit? Like,
yeah. Yo, that was like that old school on the b-ball court.
Yo, man, I'm just pissed off, bro. Like,
I feel exactly where you're coming from, JD.
I'm out, bro.
And I think, Ness, the one thing that you said that we hadn't touched on and I can't believe we didn't touch on was Al. Look, if you got Al, you know, checking you, something went wrong, and you are responsible for those people. I'm not saying. I'm sorry. I'm not putting any words in your mouth, and I'm not saying that is what happened. However, we know that the way things go, and we know that the way that Al's reacted in the past to certain things like this. And all I can say, I'll tell you what, if he's seen that video, he ain't happy. You can at least admit that. And you got to keep the dudes in check.
It adds money. That's all.
Quick fun fact. See, this time when me and Al got out the car, and I mean Al Doomsday, I went straight into gyro mode. I'm talking about we came out the elevator door like this, you know, swinging the gyro, recording right from the door. So yesterday what we walked into was an already upset Jamal Charlo for a number of reasons. And one of those reasons was he was already pissed off because he was put in a hotel 5 miles away from his brother. He was also pissed off because he told Kelly Swanson told him that she thinks he's fighting on June 3rd. I'm getting this all via text too. And also, Another key element, while we might still have to take that trip, we cannot forget who is the mandatory. Who is the mandatory? Who is the mandatory after this mandatory?
For Jamel or for Jamal?
For Jamel.
I have no idea who.
Get the fuck out of here. It's all right. Mario, you know why? Because you're going to love it.
Vans Monterosen?
He wishes. You know who's the mandatory? I hope I say this
Erickson
right. Stop by say. Erickson Lubin, baby.
I got it. Yes. What I get? Do I get a prize?
I want to know what is it going to look like when that team and that team go at it.
Oh, my God. Yo, that is awesome.
You know, JD said something. JD said, yo, you can recognize real, and you could. And I told you guys off air, like, if you watch a specific person, you see what he specifically says, and you know that he is fucking serious, right? So it's like, yeah, you know, you got to be careful with these guys, for real. Lions only. Yeah, let's get out to the calls. We got we're going to go out to Australia to our favorite Aussie.
No one can stop me, really.
Boy, there's a king croc right there. This croc has enough power in his jaws to whip my ass right off.
Unique in the sixth round, in the seventh round.
You're going to be the legend to become a legend.
Hey, what's going on, boys? Look, I'll be real quick. Mario and JD, I hope you guys aren't painting each other's nails, you little girls, but I'm all for this. I mean, look, maybe it's because we get no action here in Australia. Like, I mean, the biggest thing we're going to have now is Pacquiao versus Horn, but I'm all for this. Like, anything to hype a fight up like that. I'm just glad Ness was in the middle of it all to get the footage. Thanks, Heath Ness, for that, because, you know, wouldn't have been able to see it without you. But anything like this, this just reminds me of the, you know, the old Zab Judah, the old Mike Tyson, all that kind of stuff, the bad boys, you know, bring it on, man. Just put boxing on the map again. Like, this bloke's only getting paid $100,000 for a world title fight. Like, what are we reduced to, man? This is disgusting, man. He should be getting a lot more than that. And I think anything to put him in the spotlight to earn a bit more cash, or, you know, make some more fans. I mean, he's got me now all hyped. I wasn't exactly hyped up. Like, I mean, I was going to watch the fight, of course, but I wasn't extremely hyped up for the fight. But now, with all this blood boiling, all this tension in the air, you know, I'm extremely, extremely hyped up for this fight now. So I guess we'll come see what happens fight night. So, but yeah, it's my call.
All right, Alex, thanks for calling in. You know, I was wondering, guys, should we go through the video? Should we play it without audio, just kind of narrate it? Should we watch it with audio? Should we go through the comment section and see what the world thinks?
I would think that
we should mull over. We're going to take some calls, get their opinions. You guys let me know, what should we do? Should we view it? Should we show it? Should we read the comments? We're going to go out to Jay in Orlando. What's up, brother?
Yo, fellas, what's going on, man? Hey, when you guys were talking about the Charles Hadley thing, whatever, Charles Hadley was actually explaining in an interview this week. I don't know if it was on your channel or on somebody else. But he explained it, that he was actually asked to be in the ring. Like, him and Don King didn't, like, just get up there. Like, Showtime told him to come in the ring. And he knew which Charlo brother to get in there. But then the Charlo brother pushed him, but Showtime only showed him pushing, you know, Jamal Charlo. But he knew obviously who Jamel was, being both from Texas. When it comes to the altercation thing,
we don't believe you need more people.
Hey, I'll show you the video. I'll show you the video. It's always two sides to every story. But when it comes to,
I don't know, man. It sounded video, better to me when everybody,
hey,
thought.
Hold on, Ness. Think about this, Ness. Hold on. Think about this, though. Like, think about common sense. They're both from Texas. They both been fighting since the amateurs. You don't think he knows one from the other?
Yo, it ain't that easy, man. You heard Lou DiBella at the press conference yesterday.
It ain't that easy.
It ain't that easy. For me, it is.
They are identical twins.
For me, it is. For me, I know immediately.
They're identical twins, but they've been. What I'm saying is, though, Ness, he's known them for over 10 plus years.
That doesn't mean he's known them.
Yeah, I don't know how much time they spend together because both of the camps, they're not like.
It's not hard to tell one from the other. They have different hairstyles.
I mean, hey, listen. All right.
It's.
I see, no yo. Listen, no I'm just keeping
he's
it. Look, JD.
Well.
I mean,
black as well. I know a lot of.
No, no, Jay. Listen, I'm
he's
just
black as well. So no,
I'm just being honest because you see them on TV. I see them in person more frequently. I interact with people who ask me all the time, like, "Yo, which one's which?" I'm just saying.
It happens all the time
for me. But I'm a hardcore
like, fans. I know hardcore fans.
Also, too, keep in mind. Also, too.
What?
He entered the ring after the guy was in the fight. Like, the guy was still in the fight. You know what I'm saying? Jamal was still in the fight, and he entered the ring after the fight was over with. It makes sense when he explains the story where, hey, they didn't have enough TV time. They didn't have enough time for the interview, so they told me to come in afterwards.
Hey, man. Whatever. He's here now. Look, how he got here doesn't matter. What matters is he's here now. Tomorrow night, we're going to find out just how good he is, or was it all hype?
Yeah. But when it comes to the entourage and all that stuff like that, this is one thing I want y'all to, like, keep in mind. I know, like, y'all saying, like, it's good for promotion. I think it's good for promotion as well. But that shit was real. That's not faking, funk, whatever. Like, and when it gets to that kind of level, the only way that you can solve that is by some altercation whatsoever where you actually put hands, you touch another person, or you go out and you try to harm the other person, one or the other.
Exactly.
So, like, it's reached that kind of level where with the entourage, where it's not to where you want it to be, because that's not good for business. That's not what you need for PBC. That's not what you need for Showtime. That's not what you need for Iron Heyman. That's not what you need for any of the brothers. So,
yo, that's such a great point, Jay.
Yeah, because what I'm thinking is, like, Mario, for instance, you're from Texas. Think about Texas laws. Think about Texas and how easy it is to get a gun. Think about if this fight was in Texas. That happened last night, and this fight was in Texas. And you'd be like, yo, you coming to the fight tomorrow? Yeah, I'm coming to the fight tomorrow. Oh, there goes such and such, boy. You know what I'm saying? And it can easily, situations like that, it sounds dumb and crazy, but I've seen situations where people pop off for dumb, stupid reasons just because, hey, you're chilling with this person or you're hanging with that person, and shit gets blown out of proportions, and then next thing you know, you're going to shot somebody, and he's been in jail over some bullshit. So
it don't sound dumb and crazy. It don't sound dumb and crazy at all. Like, not one bit. And that, and I'm not going to take credit for your point because I didn't say that. And so that's your point, and it was a great point. So I'm not going to take credit, but I'll piggyback off of it and say you're absolutely right that this is not over by a long shot. These camps are going to see each other again. And I mean, look, I hope that it's done, but you're absolutely right. When it reaches a level like this, usually an altercation is the only way that it is the way it manifests.
Speaking great of altercations, call. Great call, Jay from Orlando. Thank you for calling in. Now, I'm hoping we could get in touch with the lovely Monsterpiece, the co-producer of the show. She was on hand for the weigh-in. And you know that she doesn't get a lot of opportunities to be physically with these fighters and amongst these festivities, right? Or these, you know, events. And she has a personal story to tell with her dealing with, I don't know which Charlo. Hopefully she has time. I mean, it's late here on the East Coast. You know, not everybody on the TBV family that's East Coast stays up as late as Ness. I'm a night owl. Ooh. Jersey, talk to us. Look, see? Not a night owl. He fell asleep over here in Jersey. I mean.
They snoring.
504. First time caller, 504. 504, first time caller.
Yeah, man. What's up with you, Ness?
What's going on, brother? First time calling in. How long have you been listening, sir?
Hey, man. I've been following y'all for years, man. You know, but I saw your interview today with Virgil Hunter. Not to step off topic with the whole Charlo thing, I'm gonna touch on that.
Can we first get you to Can we first get you to introduce yourself at the very least so we can make sure we got you and the world knows who we're talking to?
Yeah, man, my name, everybody call me Maxine Steve, you know what I'm saying? I'm from New Orleans, you know?
Well, I wanted to give you a first-time caller intro. I don't know if you heard. We normally have that tradition. You know, we play that intro, then you introduce yourself. But whatever, it's all good. You said it's Maxine?
Max AC, you know what I'm saying? Max, like the air conditioning.
Max AC from Max New Orleans. AC. All right. So, Max.
That's what it is, man, my brother.
I know you want to talk Virgil Hunter, Max. I mean, that interview got you that.
Let me just say one thing. Man, I respect your mind, bro. You know what I'm saying? I respect your mind for what you said. You know what I'm saying? Like everything you put out there, because they was trying to give you a hard time about the whole Golden Boy racist email thing. You know what I'm saying? Now, Golden Boy is not even on a platform as a, you know, PBC or Showtime and things of that nature. You know, but at the same time, you stood your own and you let it be known in a very respectable way, you know, how it is for the boxing media. You know what I'm saying? In the boxing press. And my respect level for you and the boxing voice went sky high after what you said. You know what I'm saying? Now, the other guy had a point too, and I respect how Verse handled the situation, you know, but at the same time, my man, you know, respect and props to you, man. Keep doing your thing. I know you hear that all the time. Keep doing your thing. Keep working. You know, cause, bro, I see you. You know what I'm saying? And the world see you too. So I just wanted to get that out the way. You know what I'm saying? But moving on to the Charlo thing, I'm gonna say this about them. I've been following them for a while. I even saw how you was the first person who seen Jamel when he was coming up to the Gleason's gym. You was outside, and they you know, Jamel. He approached you with respect, and he shook your hand, and all that kind of stuff. And y'all had a great interview. I think you and Ego both interviewed him at the same time, and he answered all of the questions respectfully. Now, Jamal, he always give off that energy like he wants to be the bad boy. You know what I'm saying? He even thinks he's better than his twin brother. You know, let that sink in. You know, because somebody else, I think it was fight something, I don't know, it was Fight Hub or whatever you call him. He did an interview with Jamal, and he was like, oh yeah, man, I'm better than my twin brother, and nobody can hang with me, and blah, blah, blah. And all that confusion that went down the day, it's almost as if he's trying to, it's almost like he's trying to sit on his brother on purpose. You know what I'm saying?
It's interesting you say that, right? Huh? Because I said it's interesting you say that, right? Because at the final press conference, when Hatley and Jamel are going at it, they're going at it. I'm sitting behind Jamal and his girlfriend and a couple of the Charlo entourage, and you just see Charlo turn to his girl and say, "Man, he lucky he ain't fighting me." So I mean, obviously, everyone will say that, right? Because we all think we could do better, but it goes credit to your point that you really feel he thinks he can do better.
Right. And that's sad, man, because, you know, he ain't 169. Man, you've been on fire today, but that's why I have to call, man. I watch every last one of your videos today, man. And all I could do is smile, man. All I could do is smile, dude. You was really on fire today, Ness. I got to give you a whole lot of credit, my brother. But anyway, I really felt that it was a disgrace for the sport with to the place in that hotel. You know what I'm saying? Because those guys got so much to fight for tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody don't want no blood to spill out in the streets. Let it stay in the ring. You know what I mean? Like, I understand, you know, people are all hyped up and happy about the fight and how they had to hype it up and this, that, and the other. But, man, that's poison, man. And that's going to do nothing but ruin relationships. And who knows? Man, Charles Hatley really carried himself like a soldier today. You know, Jamel could be in some trouble tomorrow, especially if he gets dropped or if he loses that fight. It could potentially happen. He can get knocked out and that'll wash Jamel off of the map because he ain't been fighting in the past 8 or 9 months. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not gonna take up a lot more of your time, man. You know, I was just looking at the big picture, and it's just a lot of little funny business going down. And I really feel like the Charlo brothers, they should be a little more intelligent, you know, with how they carry themselves going forward, because that really wasn't a good look to be.
Yo, what a great call, because, yo, first of all, he was just so enthusiastic. What a great call like that. But such great points. I didn't even think about that whole brother rivalry, and he's right. He's absolutely right about that, and he's right about a lot of other points, but I'll save that for my final thoughts.
Yeah, man, that was an amazing call. Max City, thank you. We always love first-time callers, man. We're so happy you guys are out there listening. We got we were having Boston. What's up?
We got Monsterpiece on the line, ready to give that amazing story.
Let's see what happened with Monsterpiece while she was at the way.
I'm a motherfucking monster.
What's happening, people? What's happening now? Happening all week? Happening this weekend? What's going on? What's happening?
What's happening, monster?
You tell us, how was your visit to the weigh-in? This is one of your first weigh-ins,
you know,
right?
You know what? It's all love, man. It's all love. I don't take shit personal, but I was nervous. You did see me. I was shaking. I don't know.
But why? Why were you shaking? Why were you shaking? Why were you shaking?
Can I finish?
Well, I'm trying to walk you through this one. I'm trying to be like Oprah. Maybe we get you to cry on the couch, get a couple of more ratings.
Everyone gets a free whale. It's going to be great.
You know, first of all, nothing terrible happened. If you follow me on Instagram, which I hope you, some of you do, it's Monsterpiece on Instagram. But if you do follow me, you know I took pictures with a lot of them, and it was all good. The thing is that with the Charlos, I got there a little bit right when the shit was getting hot. Like, I got there right when they were about to go on stage. So I didn't have a chance. It was my first time. So I didn't have a chance to kind of, like, mentally prepare to what I was going to expect at this kind of event. So I'm not at all complaining. You know, I'm not at all mad at them for what happened, because I feel like some of it was my fault. So this is how the story went. So I was with my phone recording some footage just in case we might need it for our Instagram page. But I was recording some footage and getting some stuff, and I was trying to shoot Jermell coming in. What ended up happening is that his entourage was, like, hogging him. It was like they weren't even leaving the guy breathe, and it was just kind of like – Jamal ended up getting in my shot while I was screaming, Jamel, hi. And then I said hi, and instead of saying hi, Jamal, like an idiot, I said hi, like if I was calling him Jamel. So when that happened, Jamal ended up going, oh my God, I'm not Jamel, I'm Jamal.
90 seconds.
And I'm like, what? And I'm like, well, y'all look identical. I guess that you should be used to that. That's what I was trying to say. Y'all look identical. You should be used to that. But their names are identical. I mean, their mom or dad wasn't really fucking creative in the first place. But I did it. I mean, really, Jamal? Like, come on. I get it. They're identical. But did you really have to fucking name them the fucking same?
60 seconds.
Anyway, the point is. That I wish I had that soundbite when Jamal got so offended, or what? It didn't look like he got offended. It just looked like he was just trying to make fun of me and trying to, like, justify his reason for being the way he is. And like I said, it's all love. I got a little nervous. I felt a little embarrassed because I didn't know how to defend myself at that point. And it just felt like, what's the point? They all were rushing inside to get on the wig. So it's not like I had time to kind of clear the air. But hey, it is what it is. Who knows what would have happened if he never would have gotten that if he never would have been that misunderstanding. Probably would have went smoother. Who knows? I don't know where these guys are. But as I was coming in.
10 seconds.
There, didn't get his name. But he was like, yo, the Charlos, they need to learn how to humble themselves. And I'm like, well, they're boxers. What do you expect? And he goes like, nah, that shit ain't right. None of these other boxers are acting like that. Why he got to act like a dick? And I'm like, oh, shit. I don't know who that guy was, but shout out to him. Hope he's listening.
That's my story. So your first time going to a weigh-in and they treat you like that, right?
So this is what I heard. This is the story I heard. Monsterpiece mixed up the Charlos, and they were so mad about it that after that happened, they went into the lobby and they got into a fight with the Hatley team. So I think Monsterpiece caused all that.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe that's what started it. I hope I'm that famous, because if that's the case, boy, I'm wishing all of that on me right now. I could use some of that spotlight. But anyways, yeah, it was just weird. It was bizarre. But I'm ready for next time. I think no more cold feet, no more none of that shit or freezing or, you know, getting all shook up. I'm a monster, you know. I'm ready to take this, the next time. So then,
you know. Yo, we need to take that button away from Matt, for real.
Matt ODs with that button. Monster,
we need to get that twice entire show. Come on.
I want to say that I hope you do go to more, because it was good to have you there and have you mingling with all the other ladies that, you know, really run boxing.
I was actually,
right?
Yes, I agree. But you know what? It looks like that was an intense weigh-in, because even Lou DiBella was a little bit upset.
No, well, I mean, it was just so much tension.
Happened. There's just so much tension. Lou DiBella was a little upset because I think his fighter was a Serrano. I think it's a fighter. That's his fighter, right?
Yes, yes.
Both for Serrano and Santana, the Dominican fighter that she's going to fight, they didn't kind of make the weight limit. So they were trying to negotiate something, I guess, with the commission that was there, but he got really upset. So it was a lot going on. But when I got there, Lou was so sweet, and everyone was really nice, except for the Charlotte, who had a little bit of an attitude. But it's okay. It's all, like I said, it's all love. It's, you know, I'm not gonna take that shit personal. But it was funny and it was kind of, you know, hilarious.
Well, pedazo de monster. We're gonna get to some other callers.
Guys, I gotta go back to this show. I'm being extremely rude stepping out from this performance. But I love you guys, and we're gonna talk on Crow Day. And I might be at that fight nest. I might be in the bleachers all the way up. Cause I'm all the way up.
Remy Ma. All right, monster. Let me see who we got. We got Blind Man Brad in Bakersfield. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right. Did we do a good job painting that picture there? Did you feel you got to see what we're talking here?
Yeah, I did last time when you was talking about that Charlo, man. That was pretty crazy. I just barely tuned in, dude. I just barely got done working out, man. I didn't even hear what the show was. I heard you guys was on, and I just said, hey, I'm just gonna call up, see what's up.
Well, that's actually what we're talking. We're talking the Charlos, and we're asking ourselves, can they possibly be the Bad Boys of boxing?
Well,
hey, Brad, you know what? You're probably going to have to go back and listen to what took place, because there was a major altercation that took place in the Marriott Hotel in Brooklyn today during the final weigh-in of this fight. I was on hand. I got video of the whole situation. We kind of went over what took place and the ups, the downs, the good and the bad of it all. But if you want to give us some sort of generalization, you can. But I recommend you definitely go back and listen to the details. Some interesting things did take place with both brothers.
Was this on Patreon?
No. This live show. Just rewind.
Yeah, he's saying just to go back to the beginning of the show, Brad, because we talked about it in pretty good detail what happened.
For sure, man. I'll do that after I get off the phone. But yeah, the whole thing that I caught, at least, that's crazy. That I know that was the last thing you was expecting was a bad reaction from them. Cause I can definitely vouch that you guys always say nothing but good things about those guys. And if you want to make a fake facade, I mean, I guess it worked for Mayweather, but I don't know. Maybe he really is crazy. I don't know. But these guys, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. It's yet to be seen, but it's never been seen thus far, right?
No. What do you mean?
Like from them, like playing the bad guy role.
Well, no, I mean, Yeah. That's kind of the picture that we painted today. Was giving different scenarios with different fights that they've had with different fighters, where the outcome has always ended similar to this one.
Oh man, yeah, I definitely need to hit replay on this show. That'll be something for me to do though. And I highly recommend that you guys hit thumbs up and like, follow, and anything else you can do. How do you leave a 5-star review, Mr. Nestor Gibbs? I have no idea how to use this on the iTunes, man. Can you educate all of us on that?
Sure. If you're going to your iTunes app, you could just click on the write a review, and that will take you directly to where you need to drop the 5-star review. You usually have to have an iTunes account. You need to have either an iPhone or an iPad or any sort of computer, laptop, you know, anything that can log you into the internet. And just go to iTunes. It's absolutely free. And, yeah, you search all podcasts there. And, you know, you can type in the Boxing Voice and our podcast will come up. And those 5-star reviews are greatly appreciated and always get read live on air. Brad, we want to thank you for calling in. We're going to get out to some other callers we have here.
Yo, first of all, let me say, I don't pay Showtime to see you all there, not even putting a goddamn motherfucking effort. If I want to see some motherfucker just fight, I pick up a fight with somebody in the street. Don't need that shit. You don't love that form I do? Just move along. Gone. Fuck you. Next, what a great show. Thumbs up, donate.
Hey, yo. And who the fuck is that guy? Nice intro. What's poppin', people?
What's up, Georgie? Where's the energy?
Let me get on the channel. I'm right here, nigga. I gotta keep it calm because they throwing all this bad energy out there. I don't want to, you know, keep going with the channel situation. I'm with fucking Mario all day long. You cannot go there with all these people and expect the shit to pop up, bro. The so-called conglomerate of France Combagory, which is the sanctioning bodies, to just allow these people to show up with 3 to 4 people, tops. You don't need an entourage of 20 niggas yelling shit, man. I'm all for the, you know, high energy and let's get it on and, you know, make this not for the sport, for the sport to grow. But that shit is ridiculous, bro. What the fuck is that shit? This is the era that we live, that everybody wanna be on Facebook and the Twitter and be the man and the spotlight. Dougie, you're not even fighting, bro. You're not even fighting. Your man is fighting. Gotta chill out. See this big ass dude talking shit. I'm listening to see what the child gotta say. I ain't no one to listen what the fat dude gotta say. I don't give a fuck about that dude. This man allowed to be yelling shit in the middle of the fucking conference. How come the security not there putting a knee on this dude? Straight up, throw that dude on the ground, put a knee on his fucking back and shut the fuck up. Because we're not here to listen to you. That being said, the child was talking about like the press don't give him props. Talking about how they got 2 belts in the same division. We're not playing Jeopardy. It ain't that type of fucking trivial question that nobody wanna see. We wanna see you unify the belts. And when you got 1 belt, your brother had the other one, and you guys didn't fall. So there goes unification. Then they come out with the bullshit that Larry's a friend, and they cannot fight him either. So we got 3 different fucking belts being all hostage, because they want to play the fucking you my brother shit. I want to see who's the best in the world.
What's wrong with that?
Yo, we all want that, Georgie.
See, baby. What?
I said we all want that. You're absolutely right. That's bullshit.
It's the mafias, though, man. It's those damn mafias and those reptilians.
We want to see who's the best in the world. We want to see who's the best in the goddamn world. And they want to play the fucking Magic Teresa shit that you, my brother, I ain't fighting.
But Georgie.
Drop the bill.
Georgie, we both know it's the mafias, man. It's those damn reptilians. They're the ones, man. They're ruining boxing.
I don't know, man. I guess sometimes we just cannot agree on shit, but I'm going to give everybody, tell everybody to give the thumbs up and support, because definitely this is one of the best shows out there, if not the best. Thank you to your family, and thank you.
Great call, Georgie.
Thanks for calling in. Yo, how you going to say one of the best? I can get the Charlo's Young Lions. Lions only on your ass, Georgie. Watch out. Watch out. Yo, man. Boxing, bro. We love it. We love it. What are you going to do? It's that time, man. Final thoughts. Bad Boys of Boxing. I don't know. It seems like the public doesn't want them to take on the bad boy role, but I think it's too late. They've done it with Rosado. They've done it with Williams. And I say they because, listen, Jamel gets in the ring too when Jamal fights. You know, he's there. When Hatley jumped in, you know, it got ugly. So they're brothers, man. You have to expect them to defend one another. And, yeah, I would like to see them go into that bad boy role, man. That's how Pretty Boy Floyd did it, bro. That's how he did it. And these guys have legitimate skill and legitimate power. It might serve them well. Tone it down a bit, obviously. You don't want any lawsuits. You don't want any civil suits. You don't want any superior court dates showing up in the mail. So, yeah, tone it down just a bit. But I say go for it.
And my final thoughts are that, you know, being there for the J-Rock Charlo fight live, seeing how Jamal Charlo was so confused as to why everyone was booing him, and that heel turn, you know, like, and like Marius alluded to earlier in the show, like, these guys were soft-spoken, polite, kind, and such throughout most of their careers up until very recently, and it was that fight. It was the J-Rock fight. It was the crowd deciding that Jamal Charlo was the enemy. And that happened organically. These guys becoming the bad guys was not a forced publicity stunt. It was the organic nature of the fan base at a particular fight that either they subconsciously jumped on or they consciously jumped on. And I think because it happened organically, this heel turn from a babyface, I think that it's good for the boxing, good for both these guys, and hopefully it gets them into bigger fights throughout their career.
I don't know how much my fellow co-hosts are going to appreciate this, but I'm going to pull a rant because I want to, and I've been on the show for a long time and I earned it. Listen, I know this isn't what this is about, but I know Nestor Gibbs well enough that he's not going to do a show on his own. And I had planned on saying this before, but I'm glad we got a call about it. If you haven't seen it, Ness put out a video, with an interview with Virgil Hunter. He said some things about the way that the boxing media is treated and the way it is run. I'm just going to let you watch it, but I just wanted to say that I've never been prouder of my boxing voice cohort in Nestor Gibbs. Everything he said, he defended all of us, the little guys, the big guys, from California to New York to Vegas to Texas. We've all dealt with stuff like this. And, you know, he didn't back down from a debate. It wasn't a fight. Everybody was very cordial. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, go check it out. You got to check it out. Probably one of the best all-around speeches I've ever heard on that subject. So very proud of Ness. Good job.
Yo, thanks, Mario. Hugo said 2 more weeks till Chavez ends the red. The red. Yeah. Yo, that's funny. The people think Chavez is going to win.
Yeah, they do.
He could
very well win. Crazier things have happened in this sport. Come on.
Yeah, like altercations at Marriott hotels. or or at Modell's autograph signings. What was that store where Tyson hit that dude? What was it? Was it a regular convenience store? Like, these things do take places in the darndest places.
Or there's a story of Mike Tyson in the club fighting the guy that was all on, hyped up on PCP.
The Jerry Curl?
Yeah, the Jerry Curl guy. Like, he was an actual fighter.
Yeah, he was. He actually fought.
Yeah, they fought.
He fucked him up.
I thought that Zab Judah Dice game happened in Brooklyn.
No, that was in Miami, right? I could have
it was.
What about the Zab Judah Mayweather brawl in the ring?
I know, right? We were talking about all these things.
The entourage literally spilled out in the ring and started fighting. I mean, and I forget what happened. I mean, it was mainly a slap on the wrist from what I remember.
Shout out to Mars Jetson for getting it right. It is Mitch Green. Mitch Green was the guy. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yo, yes, listen, bad time to be down with TBV, I'm telling you, especially if you have, like, Undertone, because, shit, Lions only right now, for real. Shit would have got crazy yesterday, man.
And we're going to the heart of it. We're going to Texas.
Oh, I know. We're going out there, bro. It's going to be dangerous.
Hope we don't get jumped.
We're going to show up so we can get a G-Pass. We need that G-Pass. Yo, we gonna need
screw pass.
Five Mexican with you.
Mario gotta show up right when the Charlo's like all Lions only. Fucking the teeth are out, drool just coming out. They about to just devour us. Mario just jumps out the whip, starts ghost rotting it, spitting the verse like yo, the G pass. Yo, spitting the verse like yo, you gotta give TBD the G pass. You know I'm here, Mario.
I'll take him to the local taco stand. It'll be good. You know I'm Mexican, so.
Yo, Mario, just jump out the truck. You know he got a pickup. Just jump out and it just start ghost riding. And his intro just comes out of God. And she just comes from the heavens like, it's me, Mario.
We're going to do big things in D-Town.
Yeah, a couple days, baby. Right after. Uh-oh.
Mario jumping out of the car.
Couple hours, baby, till we are in the big Texas. Yo, Hugo, you in Texas? Eric Cruz, I want everybody in Texas. Matter of fact, shout out, you know, contact me via some sort of social media. You probably be lucky enough to take us out for a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Yo, y'all got Dunkin' Donuts in Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I'm gonna have to bring my own.
You have a Tijuana Flats in Texas?
We land Sunday, Shelly. We land Sunday. We land Sunday right after the fight, man. I'm not even going to sleep, bro. It's going to be because I got to leave out of Philly, too, man. The flights were hell. That's what Virgil doesn't understand. Yet he wants specific shit said and everything. Like, he's giving out stipends. Man, where's my per diem at? Where's my per diem? They stopped putting food at the press conferences. You know what I'm saying? But he wants you to go after certain.
Really? They stopped putting food out for you guys?
Well,
we get like the fruit platters and shit that have been out there for hours that I don't touch because I'm like, I know I'm gonna get sick from that.
You know what? I'm not even gonna lie, because over here they treat us fucking damn good in terms.
Yo, y'all are both tripping. I've only covered two fights where they have food out, and then two fights where they gave us those drink tickets. You know what I'm talking about?
I got almost 100 fights under my belt, so I've seen some food in my day.
Yeah, I only got like a couple dozen.
I've been to multiple PBC cards and Golden Boy cards where there's no post-fight press conference.
Yes, no, that.
Oh happens. Yeah, that happens all the time.
That's ridiculous. That can't be happening anymore.
See, look, y'all are bougie though, because I go to the little gyms and shit, to the fucking basketball gyms and shit to cover it. So y'all are bougie covering those big ass Brooklyn stadiums and Staples Centers.
That's why you got to come out to the out here, bro?
I know. I'm a swim with the sharks.
Yo, you come out here, get a taste of that real life, and then the fighters try to jump you. This is what the – yo, you don't see no fighters trying to jump media in Texas. That shit happening in the Big Apple, baby. But listen, man, this is TBV. You already know. Follow us on all forms of social media, at The Boxing Voice. Don't forget to subscribe here to the YouTube channel, because you never know when we will be back. We're going to be live at the fight, so we're going to be uploading immediately from the fight, and you better stay tuned. You just don't know what's going to happen. Shit might pop off. I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO.
And I am the other co-host, Matt Hunter, the hipster. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter and my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radios on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Peace.
I'm the co-host. And you can follow me on IG and Twitter at Maury Munguia, both same.
AD Brown, Showtime anytime is a fight that merits it, baby. We just need a fight to go to Showtime. I've never even been to the Windy City, so I'm definitely waiting for it. But we're out.